Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
First Sunday of 2021. For the last week, I have been doing all sorts of things, going back and looking at what we were doing this time last year. Dare we speak of 2020? Thinking about what was in our calendars, what the world was doing, and it began in turmoil. This time last year, I looked in my calendar and in my journal, and I was praying for Pastor Rick and Jenny down in Taree, who were standing on a beach because of bushfires. Literally. To escape horrendous bushfires that had touched our nation and were destroying everything in their wake. And that's how we started 2020. And then we jumped into the end of February, and obviously we are all very aware of a pandemic. By the time we hit April, the world is in chaos over division of race. We did one thing after the next. And it made me think about Matthew 24:6, which really sums up 2020. It was a year where you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but you were to see it and not be alarmed. How hard was that? A year of wars and rumors of wars. And yet you are not to be alarmed. The end of that passage actually said, such things must happen so that the end may come. Now, I don't know when Jesus will return. Wouldn't it have been easier if in 2020 he had? Anybody else with me? We could all be in glory and have sung amen with angels this morning. But as I woke up on the first of the first 2021, God gave me this picture of a bushfire, like the way we started 2020. And I actually was so moved by it, I wept, I lamented. Because the truth is what for many of us, 2020, we have experienced so many things, but what the fruit of 2020 has produced, or the evidence it has produced worldwide in every sphere, whether it be out in the world or in the churches across the world, there has been a bushfire that has raged out of control. And faithful believers have been fighting it. But the truth is regardless of whether what player you were in the midst of it, whether you were on the front lines as a firefighter, you were in the middle of it and trying to flee from it, you were standing on a beach. There were two things that stood out to me about it, and this is what the Holy Spirit reminded me of on the first, is that when I rung my friend on the beach, she said two things. We're safe. We're safe. But we can't see and we can't breathe. For smoke has stung our eyes and the sting won't go. And the smoke is so thick that even though we're not in the fire, we are affected with breath in our lungs. It is hard to breathe. And I just cried out to God and said, God, we need something new for 2021. Because the truth is I don't know about you. I wrote in my journal on the 31st of December 2020, God, what will 2021 bring? With a question mark and uncertainty. I don't know if you've felt like me, but I have felt for the last month leading into this year, 2021, I felt a degree of trepidation and uncertainty that this year would be much of what last year was. That this year we would still be dealing with smoke, stung eyes, and a lack of breath. And the Holy Spirit gave me a word, really clear. I had no idea that Gray would bring it out this morning off our platform. But he said in Isaiah 43, verse 18, "Do not remember the former things or ponder on the things of the past. Listen carefully. I am about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth." And then there is a question. Will you not be aware of it? Why is that a question? Will you not be aware of it? I believe that the prophet Isaiah, and I'm so glad that Gray called the prophets of the house out, because now in history is the time where a fivefold ministry will be manifest on the planet, where every gift in the house will be activated and moved to go to work, to be at kingdom work, because we have a job to do. Post-2020, there is something for us to do. I can't shake the word that Pastor Simeon spoke over us. When he came here, he said, "We have a job to do. Congratulations, you got the job." That's what 2020 holds for us. But the promise attached to Isaiah 43 goes on. It says, and Gray read it out, "I will even put a road in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." For those of you who do not know the definition of what this means, it means those who have wandered off. I will even put a road to them. I will even put rivers of living water and extend it to them. "The beasts of the field will honor me, jackals and ostriches." Go and study that. "Because I have given waters to the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people whom I formed for myself, will make known my praise. I will do a new thing. Will you not be aware of it?" And so today, we get to launch a new theme, a new year in the house of God, in His house. And Pastor Mark has declared a word over us at City Point Church, and it's right there on our screen, New Horizons. And he's asked each and every one of the locations to extend an invitation in January, which is what the title of my message is this morning, which is a bold invitation. It's an invitation that is all throughout the Gospels. But it's a simple question once again, and I'm going to ask it of each and every one of us today. And it's the question, come, follow me. Would you? Come, follow me. Not me, specifically, Mel, but Jesus. So I'm going to unpack this morning what that statement, come, follow me, entails. As we walk into 2020, Louis Giglio says, "No big shocker that following Jesus is costly. The best things in life always are." Matthew 4:19 says, "And he said to them, 'Follow me as my disciples, accepting me as your master and teacher, and walking the same path of life I walk, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Jesus called his disciple and used the phrase "follow me" over 20 times in the Bible. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read that they left their occupations, their hobbies, their comforts, and even their families and friends to follow Jesus. Matthew 40:20 says, "At once they left their nets and followed him." And later in verse 22, it says, "And immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him." There is something profound about the way they left. How they left. The disciples left to follow Jesus in two ways, instantly and completely. They didn't hesitate in their decision. They didn't take anything with them. They didn't run back home to bid farewell to those they loved. They didn't simply say yes to his call and for the next 3 years they followed Jesus everywhere in what he did. Many will say that what the disciples did was radical and over the top. And to today's standards, yeah, it was. To follow someone who merely spoke to them, someone who did not live in a palace as a king should, someone who did not provide them comfort, someone who grew up in the same village, who grew up just like them, and someone who came to serve others is extreme. Yet they were compelled to follow. There was an unexplainable, unfamiliar force that pulled them to Jesus. My question to each and every one of us today is, what or who are you following? We're all following something or someone. It may be a person's teachings, a family legacy, a spiritual philosophy, a community of people, our own comfort or desires. Our devotion lies somewhere. We just have to admit where it lays. As Christ followers, the someone that we are to follow is Jesus Christ. But often we get confused about what that really means here on earth. Is it coming to church and being connected to community? Is it being in the marketplace and sharing Jesus? What does it look like here on earth? If you ask 10 people their thoughts about following Jesus, there's a good chance you'll get 10 different answers. Most answers will have to do with our actions. Living good lives, being kind, showing love, going to church, reading the Bible, feeding the poor, praying for others. There are people who will tell you what you shouldn't do when you come to follow Jesus. Swear, cheat, lie, steal, gossip, judge, be a good person. They'll say, then there will be a select few who will tell you the actual cost of following Jesus is laying down your life so that he can live through you. And what they're suggesting is an all-out surrender to Jesus, which is actually what my message is about today. And Gray didn't know this when he came and he spoke to our prophets and he spoke about surrender. So let's dive into what it means to surrender our lives to Jesus as we follow him on this earth. To live our lives so deeply connected to him that saying goodbye to self becomes a joy and an honor for our lives here. Mark 8:34-35 in the Passion Translation says, Jesus summoned the crowd along with his disciples and had them gather around. And he said to them, if you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely disown your own life. You must be willing to share. You must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own, as you continually surrender to my ways. For if you let go of your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will continually experience true life. But if you choose to keep your life for yourself, you will forfeit what you try to keep. Elizabeth Elliot says, if my life is surrendered to God, all is well. Let me not grab it back as though it were in peril in his hands, but safer in mine. Surrender. Surrender, surrender, surrender. It's a word that to many is seen as in a negative light. For those who oppose its presence in their lives, it's often given other titles like submission or control. And yet, both are not even given a second thought with God, authority, or in relationships with others when you live from a place of surrender. We get to choose to be part of his eternal game plan. And that comes with an action from each and every one of us. When we come to follow Jesus, it comes from a place of surrender. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. But often we hold on to our own agenda as we attempt to follow Jesus. Why do we do this? I've been thinking about this for the last couple of weeks as I've been pondering 2020 and anticipating 2021. And I think it's because we wage flesh and the spirit all the time. There is a war waging between them in our own lives at all times. To think that we don't is deception. We are waging flesh and spirit all the time, in every moment, from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to sleep. And the truth is that when you come and into the presence of truth, your flesh will be offended. I notice that every time I manifest, yeah, I'm going to use that word, I get a bad attitude. I am offended. I'm upset. I'm angry. I'm reactive. It is because I have stepped towards truth and I don't like what it has to say. This is the war that we wage between flesh and spirit. But when you step towards the truth, when you follow the truth, expect that your flesh will be offended. It will manifest. Why? Because Jesus wants to do something in it on the journey when you come to follow him. The truth is we really struggle to fully surrender to Jesus because it all boils down to one question. How much will be required of me? What will this require of me? At what cost does it require of me? And the answer is really simple. When you come follow Jesus, it requires everything. Everything. In Mark 8, 34, 35, we read that if we want to be Jesus' disciples and follow him, we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross. The Greek word for deny in Mark chapter 8 is actually a word said, aponeimai, and it means to forget oneself and lose sight of one's own interests. These two verses are summed up in this way, deny self and die to self. Surrendering to Jesus means setting aside our selfish appetites and allowing him to live through us. It's choosing to trust his faultless plan even when we can't make sense of it. It's believing that our eternal joy is more pressing than momentary pleasure. But there's another question that we don't often ask. So many of us will be quick when we are looking at what is asked of us when we're called to come follow Jesus. We will ask about the cost. But there's another question we don't ask, but we should. What is a life surrendered to Jesus filled with? And the answer is the same. Everything. Everything. Everything and more. Graham and I were talking over the last week about a particular character in the Bible who... I love his story, and I've had to go and study it out after watching The Chosen because he's one of my favorite characters, and his name is Nicodemus. And there's a moment in the end of season one of The Chosen, in that artistic expression, where Jesus voices a line about Nicodemus, because when I go back and I read about Nicodemus in the Bible, I see that he had the same revelation Peter did. You are the Messiah. Spoken before Peter speaks it. He was a man who had given his whole life to the teachings of the prophets and of Abraham. It was passed down in his family, and he had devoted his whole life to it. And yet he got given an invitation personally by Jesus to come follow him as one of his disciples. And he chose not to. Does that mean he was a wicked man? No. But I had a revelation through this moment because Nicodemus was a good man who just couldn't give up everything. And so he didn't attain everything that God had for him. Did he have much? Yeah. But not everything. There was a portion missed. Everything. Every spiritual blessing from God is what we get when we stop striving to fulfill our human plans on earth. Yes, trouble will still find its way to our doorstep. Burdens will leap onto our shoulders. Hardship will stumble in front of us. But through it all, we get his peace that is impenetrable, his joy that is indescribable, his freedom that is unexplainable, his love that is outrageous, his mercy that is generous, his grace that is undeserving, and his presence that is soothing, his wisdom that is reassuring, all because we trusted the plan of God in the universe over our own. So if we want to know how to follow Jesus, we just have to ask, who is leading us? Either Jesus is leading us or we are. Either we choose Jesus or we choose self. It's not complicated to decipher, but it's not easy to accomplish. It's a daily wrestle. Following Jesus means less of me and more of him. John 10:27 says, "The sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me. I know them and they follow me." Rick Warren says, "Without the grace of Jesus, a hopeless end. With the grace of Jesus, an endless hope." If you've gotten to the end of 2020 and you feel like you need to do more spiritual activity in 2021 to follow Jesus, I'd like to set the record straight today. What does God really want from us? Does he want our religious activities like attending church, doing Bible study? Does he want us to refrain from watching or doing certain things? Doing good things and refraining from doing bad things is not the goal of following Jesus. Loving him is. That's what he wants. He wants you. He wants you to come follow him. God wants our hearts and entire devotion. And then guess what will happen? You will want to do things like attend church and study his word because you'll want to know more about him. You will consider what you watch and say because you want to be more like him. You will be kind and generous because we want to do what he's called us to do. Our spiritual activities should not come first, nor should they be an obligation. They follow our heart's devotion. When we say yes to Jesus and receive his salvation, we die to self. But the next day, we will need to do it again. And the next day, we'll need to do it again. And the next day after that, we'll need to do it again. The battle with our selfish desires occurs from the moment we wake up until the moment we drift off to sleep. Dying to self is an everyday event. The more we follow Christ, the more we should be dying to ourselves. Why? Because we've sought after God and learned that his higher, better ways supersede our mediocre, average ways. So I know that there are those of you here who have got the question going around their head. Because maybe you've been asked this question before, would you come follow me? And maybe you have for a time and you don't anymore. Maybe you've walked away from coming and following Jesus. Maybe there are those of you who this morning who've come in and you're attending church, maybe because you've been invited and you're not sure why you've walked in here today. But you go, I can't come follow Jesus. He is perfect. I can't come into the presence of truth, for my flesh continues to be offended in it. What happens when we mess up? What happens when we fall short? Is he mad at us? Are we going to get punished? Will we miss out on heaven? Is there a spiritual button that is pressed that sends us back to the beginning of the process to do it all over again? Hardly. That's not the way God deals. One thing we have to realize is that when we fully surrender to Jesus, we follow him and allow him to live through us, we are getting full access to his grace. That's how grace works. When you step in, he covers. When you step in, he covers. When you step in, he covers. That's how grace works. We cannot exhaust his grace, for it covers a multitude of sin. Even when our sin quota reaches an all-time high, we are covered. When you come, follow Jesus. This is, for those of you who are wondering, this is a beyond salvation. This is not a knowing about Jesus. This is a daily walking with, coming and following where he leads. His grace covers. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he answered me and said, 'My grace is always more than enough for you, and my power finds its full expression through your weakness. So I will celebrate my weakness, for when I am weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me.'" I pray that that frees minds today, to know that Christ, that as Christ follows, we get access to his unspeakable power, his never-ending love, and yes, his limitless grace. There is no sin we can't commit, no distance we can travel away from him, where he will not bridge the gap with the full force of his power and his love and his grace, because his desire is you. He wants you. That's somebody worth following, surrendering to, and living for. And that someone is Jesus. Who are you following? Today, at the beginning of 2021, a new year, I'd love to extend an official invitation. It doesn't matter whether you've accepted this invitation for the first time today or the 100th time. I would love to extend an invitation and say to each and every one of us, would you come follow Jesus? Would you come follow Jesus? If everybody could close their eyes. Maybe you've stepped into this house today and you've made resolutions about what this year will bring, mean, you, your family. Maybe you've decided this is it, this is the year that I will step into all that God has for me. I will say yes, here I am. I am willing to come follow him. If that is you today, I'm going to ask right now, if you would just say to Jesus, here I am, I will follow you. Here I am, I will follow you. No turning back. No pondering on the things of the past. I know that right now in this service, monumental things are happening in spirits. Words have been spoken that have set people free this morning in bodies and in minds. But God wants you to experience everything he has for you. Everything. So would you accept the invitation this morning to come follow Jesus? Come follow Jesus. What will that look like this year? It might require some reconciliation. It might require some repentance. It might require some intention. It might require some new routines. It might require some accountability. The Holy Spirit will let you know. He's good that way, for when you step into him, he speaks. He will highlight in your life how you're to come follow. How you're to come follow. Would you accept that invitation today? Come follow Jesus. Come follow Jesus. come follow Jesus. Maybe you have come out to the service today and you have never made that decision to come follow Jesus, or maybe it's been a really long time and you have walked away from Jesus, but you're saying, today, I've got to make that decision. I can't do it on my own anymore. I need to come follow Jesus. If that is you today, I would love to extend to you the invitation. Would you come follow Jesus with your life today? Would you be willing to surrender your own life and lay it down and let Him take it? Let Him lead you. Let Him love you. Let Him reveal to you who you are and the plan for your life. If that is you today, as I look across this auditorium, everybody's got their eyes closed and their heads bowed, I'm going to ask, would you do a brave thing and just lift your hand so I can see it, because I would love to pray with you and help you begin this journey to follow Jesus. As I look across right now, is there anyone who says, that's me? This morning, I need to accept that invitation. I see that hand. Thank you. It's a great decision. I see that hand. It's an incredible decision. I see that hand. That's an amazing decision that you're making this morning. I see that hand. Thank you for being bold and brave. Do you know, Jesus does not see hands like I see it so that I know who I'm praying with. He sees hearts opening. He sees your faith as you open your heart and say, that's me today. I've got to come follow Jesus. Is there anybody else, as I look across one more time, anybody else who says, this morning, I'm making a decision for 2021 that I will not walk alone anymore. I must follow Jesus. Is there anybody else as I look across? Anybody else? Amen. I'm going to pray for all those who have lifted their hands. It's the greatest decision that you could have possibly made, and the most wonderful decision to begin a new year with. Particularly when God is saying, I'm going to do a new thing. You're saying, I'm going to be aware of it. That's what you're saying this morning. I'm going to be aware of it. I'm going to pray for you this morning. I'm going to ask, would you repeat the words that I am saying after me? All the believers of the house, would you do this with them? Would you take this opportunity to stand with those who have just made a decision and repeat this prayer as we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Father, this morning, I commit my life to you. I surrender my life to you. I can't do it on my own anymore. And so I place it in your hands. Come be my Lord and Savior. I choose today to come follow you with my whole life. No turning back. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on right now. Let's give a mighty shout of praise in this house. God, you're good. We thank you for what you have done in hearts here today, God. We thank you for what you've planted in our spirits, for the words that you have given us for this year. We pray that you would breathe on them afresh, wash out smoke-filled eyes, and put fresh breath in lungs as we step into all that you have for us this year. We will proclaim the name of Jesus in this church, in our lives, in our families, in our workspaces, wherever you have planted. You will be glorified in our lives this year. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Why don't you be on your feet?